we're calling our teaching God's Word Must Influence Through Every Situation. God's Word Must Influence Through Every Situation. And I want to base this from the teaching in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we know very well, where the apostle is encouraging this young teacher and pastor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, which says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So that is the part that we really want to look at, where he's saying rightly dividing the word of truth. And so he presents to this young man that truth is absolutely imperative. It is the word of God, and that the Holy Spirit comes to rightly divide, to teach, to guide and lead God's people. It's called the unction, the anointing, set upon those whom God calls in which to teach God's people, that they may get the word of God into their hearts. And this, of course, is why we're talking today about this title, God's Word Must Influence Through Every Situation. You see, whatever our walk entails, whatever we meet each day, whatever trials we're going through, whatever a decision that has to be made, whether we're going through a financial trial or a health issue, or some ethical thing that I have to seek God on, whatever our situation is each day, the Word of God must always be the base of our faith, or the root of our faith, for our wisdom and our actions. If we are not having the Word of God and labouring in the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, listening to the Word, reading, meditating into the Word, then we're not always going to have that wisdom and those actions in which to apply it. You see, it is interesting that the Holy Spirit will not go contrary to His Word, to His will. We also see an interesting scripture and verse that Peter brings out in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, where he says here, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." And then it speaks of an entrance being presented before you confidently into heaven. So again, we get this idea of being diligent to make your call and election sure through the Word of God that we receive, because we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing, reading the Word of God. And God, as I said, will not move contrary to His Word. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because faith can only enable us to walk according to God's Word. We are to walk daily according to God's Word. And that is why we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, who helps us, influences us to walk according to His Word. Not our will, but God's will, which of course we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Praying the will of God is asking God to influence your walk, your confession, your belief, whatever you face, according to God's word. The will of God is God's word, his will. You can't separate it. We can only know the will of God by reading his word. And then, even then, the Holy Spirit comes in which to implement that, if we let him, by walking the way of the cross daily, dying to the self-life. You see, man's intellect, his strength, he can't walk by faith. And this is still one of the major problems, why we do not see the word of God being fulfilled in our lives. Because we're still mentally, intellectually trying to work out and understand. We can't understand our walk. You cannot understand faith. Faith just simply believes that God is in control and that he will live his life in and through me if I meet the conditions of what he asks of me. We know this well because the apostle wrote this to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 25. Let's just remind ourselves again what he's saying here in the context of what we're talking about. Because he says here, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." So God is saying he's going to bring to the end the world's wisdom, because it's not God's wisdom. And he says here, if we carry on with this in verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And this is always the problem the Christian has. This is a lot of why you don't always overcome, or you're not enduring through your trials, or you find yourself running to man for help or whatever it is, because you're not locking in to the wisdom of God. It is still the wisdom of the world, that logic that appeals to the mind, that logic that people speak to us, that the enemy uses. And God says, you need my wisdom. And where did he go to? The root of it, in which to get that wisdom? The cross. As Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross, which looked utterly foolish, so he says, you do likewise. Take it up daily, because that is the wisdom of God that will work through your life, your mind, your circumstances, your situation. Hence the title, what we're talking about today. God's word must influence through every situation. Or in other words, the wisdom of God must work through every situation. Not the world's wisdom. And we're still too attuned to it. We're still listening to it. We listen to our families, or we listen to the enemy, who will always throw up doubt and question God and his word. And we lose it. And so we find when the trials and the tests come, what do? We don't walk by faith. Because we've allowed the wisdom of the world to come in. And it is contrary to God. It is contrary to the preaching and teaching of the cross. He says quite clearly in Romans 18. You see, our belief, our walking, our walk of faith is God's choice. Not yours, not mine. It's how God wishes that we walk. And he's not going to force this upon us. It's as we get into the word. So the word begins to work and influence us. The word of God is the wisdom of God to us. As he says in verses 26 to 29. 26 to 29, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despise God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. There you are. We forget that last bit of verse 28. Here's the miraculous working hand of God, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. He's putting down man's wisdom. Unbelief, in other words, to bring things that are working miraculously through your faith, through your believing. And he goes on in verse 25, for the reason that no flesh should glory in his presence. That is why we walk by faith. When you walk by faith, God's wisdom, you cannot glory in that because it's foolishness. But God says, that is where I'm glorified, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that as it's written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Completely, utterly opposite. When are we going to get this, FGA? God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Stop thinking, acting, living in the carnal. We're listening to man's wisdom. It's contrary. God isn't in it. God laughs at it. He looks at the folly of man, attempting, trying to worship him, follow him, believe him in his own strength, his own wisdom. God isn't in it. And until you can settle this one, you won't begin to start to understand how to walk by faith. And it comes as you are diligent and get into the word of God, you see. The word of God has to re-educate us. And this is done spiritually. And so we see our belief, our walk, that God has chosen us to walk, is his choice. Don't try and work it out. As I say so often, if you walk by faith, you're never going to understand it. It will never make any sense. Because God is teaching you his wisdom. And your walk of faith, your settling it on the word of God, confessing it, believing it, divides the powers of darkness. And that's why Satan fights against our faith, because it exposes him, his wisdom, how he deceives and holds the world in darkness. As I say so often, we have to get out of the way for this to be accomplished in us. We still think we are in control. But you are not. Where the word of God is concerned, his teaching you, his wisdom, his ways, you are not in control of that. He is, if you have yielded to the Spirit and you walk the way of the cross, taking your cross up daily and following him. Because what you begin to realize is the wisdom of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's as we yield over, so the word of God that lives in you, Jesus Christ, starts to take over. Even in your flesh, your weakness. That's what it's about. But we still think we're in control and know what is right before me. This is why we have to seek his will and wait for that leading as we seek him, as we wait each day upon him in that attitude and heart and motive, because we don't know the ways of the Lord until he begins to reveal in the way that he does, and he can reveal in numerous ways what is his will. That's why we make so much of Isaiah 40 and verse 31. I'll read it again to you, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He says, those who wait, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's supernatural, because man can't fly. So he's saying that spiritually, you will fly like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. You won't get tired. You won't get tired spiritually as you wait upon him in that attitude. That is supernatural what's taking place there. Because there is the wisdom and mind of God in display. The human mind and intellect, if it was to look at this, it would say something like this: but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will probably think, well, how do you wait on the Lord? What do you have to do? You probably have to set aside an hour a day. That's what it means. You've got to set yourself an hour a day, and then God's going to renew and strengthen you. And he'll help you to be strong. He'll help you to get a good night's sleep and so on. And then they will probably say, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Well, you can't be an eagle, you can't fly, but probably you're to look at an eagle to get an understanding of what he means. They shall run and not be weary. Well, that's only probably for the young, for youngsters. It's not for when you get old. There's no way you can do that. They shall walk and not faint. Well, again, that's for when you're young, but when you get older, you find it more difficult to walk, and at times you feel faint or you pass out. That's how logic, the world, would interpret that. Are you getting my point? And that's what we do sometimes. It's completely contrary. It's supernatural. It's like a metaphor to what God can do, and he's using various things for us to understand. Renew our strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. Have you seen an eagle that rises up with its wings up into the thermals? That is what he's saying spiritually you will do. So different from the carnal thinking and interpretation. We must allow the Holy Spirit with his word to teach us. And he says that comes as you wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord so that God can feed you and teach you and show you all of these things. How to walk, how to overcome. When a trial comes, you trust him instead of running to the arm of the flesh all the time. We should always be, in a sense, in that attitude of waiting. Not waiting to fall asleep at night, but or waiting just to go home or to go to work or whatever it will be. Yes, of course, we have those things. Yes, we do work. And yes, we do go to bed, but it's an attitude. It's spiritually. It's looking at him. It's ready to meditate, to get into your closet and so forth, waiting for promises in prayer. You prayed the prayer of faith, you're waiting for the manifestation. It's all part of this waiting on God, you see. We get so caught up with the world and its ways. And there are times we try to spiritualize it, and you never will. Let the world's ways just do what it does. It's no concern of yours. You are of another world. You are from above. You are just sojourners passing through. That's how we're to live and have that mindset and attitude. But we do all have to learn to wait on him. It's vital to be taught to learn God's ways, as Psalm 27, 13 to 14 says. Psalm 27, verses 13 to 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what you do. You wait on the Lord in your trials, in your tests, whatever it would be. You simply wait. Don't try and act your faith. Don't try and get God's hand to move. He's not going to. He says, you wait on me. Make that good confession. Continue believing. Continue seeking me and in prayer, in the word and so forth. And in that right time, God will manifest. You see? This is for our everyday actions. This is where God saves us. This is where God provides for us. He protects us. He renews us. This is where he reveals himself to us. You see. God has a way of manifesting, revealing himself to us as we wait on him. It's supernatural. Don't try and work it out. But he does. That is one of the best ways in which God will speak. God will manifest himself. God will lead and guide as you learn to wait on him. and he begins then to work. He will work through the situation. He will work through the circumstances, whatever it will be. That's how he does it. I don't know. It's not up for us to try and work out or whatever it would be. But to know that my waiting on him is not in vain. It's all part of my faith. The expectancy within my heart. You see? Some people say, well, I don't know really how to act my faith. Well, start by waiting on God each day. That's one of the greatest ways of acting your faith. Being before him. A lot of people think by acting their faith is by being busy. Busy in religious works and so forth. It isn't. As I say so often, the most busiest Christians are the least spiritual. The ones who wait on God in his presence, they're the ones. They're hearing him. They're seeing him. They're the ones walking by faith, trusting in the promises of God. And you can see when the trials come and the tests, they're looking to him. They're drawing the wisdom from God in their trial, in their situation. And not listening to the world's wisdom. We're surrounded by the world's wisdom. Your family. Sadly, our family often are the ones who talk us out of the faith. And we listen to them. Eventually, if we stay with this, we get it. And we begin to learn God's ways. And this is why, as I say, we let the word of God influence us through every situation. Whatever we go through, each day, God's word is going to influence my walk, my ways, my decisions, what actions have to be taken, whatever it would be, the word of God is going to influence according to the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. And leave the rest with God. He's a miracle-working God. He knows how to do it. He knows how to implement it. He knows how to work it through us, through situations and everything. And the world then begins to see you walk on a different path, on a different level, in a different realm. You don't walk like the world. There's something that sustains, supports you, keeps you. That is our witness, brothers and sisters. That is where God is glorified. And then the power of the Spirit begins to work through us and through the fruit of the Spirit and so on. The works come by our faith, not the other way round. And that is how we are justified. And God sometimes, as I close, he brings us to situations where he's going to try and test our faith to see whether the works come by our believing or the works come because I'm doing it. It's the other way round, you see, and that's why he tests like he does. Because when our faith is producing the works, that is a sign we are justified by faith and not by works or sight. And that is the wisdom and mind of God. That is where he is glorified. And no flesh will glory in God. And sadly, we see all too often, we hear testimonies of where they're trying to glorify God with man and what man has done, what man achieved, or what man did through me. That was God. That was the miracle of God. I needed some money and I went and I got a loan. And that's the miracle of God. No, it isn't. The world does that. But this is what you hear. You hear these testimonies. No wonder the world is confused. No, it's when we trust God. We trust God for our finances. And we look to him. And if it's not happening, then we seek him as to why my prayers are not being answered. It's very important. And this could well be one of the main things, because we're not in the Word, we're not letting the Word of God influence my life, my walk each day. This is where he is glorified, brothers and sisters. Well, I trust that you've been blessed by this. The Lord is faithful. He's spoken to us. He's showing us yet more how to walk by faith and not by sight, and that we are to take it seriously, not just another faith teaching, but that it is the teaching for today, for me to walk and glorify God. Very, very important all of this is, because the just live by faith and not by sight. And that is how he's getting us to walk, because the world does not have the answers. The world is falling more and more into a mess. But praise God, we are not of them, but separated from them, separated unto the Lord to walk in his will and his path.